Well, no matter where you go, it's probably feeling like Christmas because a lot of people I'm speaking with lately are just talking about, okay, I got to get my holiday shopping done this weekend. Some want to get a real tree. I hear those are starting to thin out at a lot of the lots, and many of the tree people tell me that they're probably going to be sold out by the end of the weekend, so you better get on that if that's what you need is a real tree. And a real treat under the tree is Lego. In our household, it has always been very popular, kind of like a staple. Even now, as my kids have grown older, they still like to, you know, pick on one of those bigger adult-style Lego projects that have a way more amount of pieces than some of the smaller ones. But if you have a Lego lover in your household, my next guest wants you to know about a show and sale this weekend, perhaps even sign you up to their Lego club. He's Adam Dodge, Lego enthusiast. Adam, thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
Remind me how long you've been interested in Lego.
You know, since I was very, very small. I have pictures of me when I was maybe two or three, and that was many, many decades now. So it's been a long time.
What do you think the lasting appeal of Lego has been?
You know, I think because it is such a creative medium to use to build, and there's not much you can't build out of it anymore, I think that is really appealing to a lot of people. And the more and more things they come out with, they're starting to target to different audiences. So there's kind of something for everybody nowadays.
You brought this to my attention a year ago, the Saskatchewan group of Lego users. Has it grown since in the last year?
Quite, yeah. We're approaching about 70 members at this point in time. So there's a lot of people out there that like doing this stuff.
Now, there's a lot of closet Lego users. I'm not in the closet when it comes to Lego. I love it. Tell me about some of the techniques that perhaps you've learned from those in your Lego group that you thought, huh, that changes how I approach a Lego build. Because you guys like building your own projects, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, we do buy the sets off the shelves and from the stores just like everybody else. But then we often, you know, use those pieces to make our own things. And I think being part of a group has actually helped my building because I will be able to see, as you say, the techniques and things that other people have done. And it's like, hey, how can I try that? Well, how can I put my own stamp on that? And so it's been a nice growth community for us here.
So how do you start building your own? Do you do it on a computer first? Like, what's your master plan? Take me through what you do.
I'm a pen and paper person, so I have an ideas book that I kind of keep with me for, you know, all day. And so when I have a thought or an idea of what I want to do, I start sketching it out. And then during the day, I kind of think about, well, how would I put this together? How would I do that? So that when I go home, I'm able to sit down at my table, start to pick those pieces together and put that thing together that I had in my brain earlier.
You're a teacher by trade, so you're busy as it is. What's been your biggest challenge so far that you've built and learned from it, and it's pretty cool? What would that be?
Well, actually, currently I have a very large structure. It's based off of cyberpunk, which is, you know, a very futuristic thing, but I took it a different direction because I have a bunch of fabric sails from pirate ships and things over the years. So I made it more of an elvish fantasy, and I call it fiber trunk because there's a bit of a tree going on. It currently stands about 4 feet tall, and I've taken it to a couple of shows, and it's gotten a decent response.
Well, you're having a show this weekend at the White City Community Center. Will your piece be there?
Yeah, it's our fifth annual show, Brick Stories, and I'm going to bring it there and showcase it with all the other pieces that are going to be there.
So why would anyone want to come to the show? It's on Saturday and Sunday. Give us a few details of what the show is going to be all about and what would be of interest.
You know, we've got more than 24 builders that are going to come to the show, and they're all showcasing some of their best works. We have things all the way from medieval fantasy to space to large-scale mosaics, and if anything, it's a great place to come for people to get inspired of what they can do with their own things. The sets that Lego puts out are nice and they're fun and they're lovely display pieces, but when you think about what those pieces could be, this is where we can kind of help and push audiences that maybe you're just used to playing with the sets and think, hey, now what can I make of my own with the pieces that I have?
Adam Dodge, he's my Lego enthusiast. What's your favorite Lego sets that you've purchased lately? I've built the Disneyland castle. The Titanic's a little too pricey for me. That thing, what, is 4.5 feet long? Did you build that one?
No, but I definitely have friends that have. And yeah, it's a big one.
I have found, though, that lately my sets have shortchanged me on a piece or two. Do you think it's just because of the mass production?
You know, I think it is. They're they're putting out a whole bunch really, really quick. And so you do hear more and more about some missing pieces from them. But they're pretty easy. You give them a call and you say, hey, this one's missing, and they'll send it to you, no problem.
Good to know. This weekend, any admission at the door when you get there?
It's $5 at the door. We've partnered with the library, the White City Library, and so the money goes to them. And we're just there to have a good time.
Do you have to wear protective footwear in the event that there is a Lego piece or two on the floor?
You know what? We make sure the public is nice and safe. You'll be totally safe. You could be barefoot. Well, probably don't be barefoot, but you know, you do you.
All safety concerns are taken into consideration. I get it. All right. I hope your show is a huge success this weekend. Tell everyone where to go.
Go on to the White City Community Center. It's in White City. It's attached to the public library there. 10 to 3 on Saturday and Sunday each day.
Love it. Adam Dodge, Lego enthusiast. Look forward to the show this weekend. Three shopping weekends to go. There's probably a lot of Christmas shopping that's going to be done here this weekend. And joining me now is Andrew Shepherd from the 980C Jammy Newsroom. We're getting a lot of year-end lists coming out this time of the year. And you said Google has been releasing some stats here this morning. Stats on what?
Their Google searches. It's always interesting to see what people in Canada were searching for throughout the year and which were the big ones. And the big thing this year overall seemed to be the Blue Jays. A lot of Blue Jays searches. They were the top trending search for news and events overall in Canada. Google breaks it down into, you know, when people go, how does blank, why this, how, what that. So the how questions are interesting. The top three how questions on Google in Canada. How many innings in baseball? So maybe a few new Blue Jays fans. How do tariffs work? That's a big one this year with the tariffs from the U.S., and how old is Mark Carney with the new prime minister? Some of the why questions, which a lot of people were asking themselves this. Why is Canada Post on strike? Why did Trudeau resign? And back to the Blue Jays, why do baseball players spit? And then the how I find the, or sorry, the what. What does 6-7 mean? That's that weird thing yeah. The kids are saying. What time is the Jays game today? So this is showing up. The Blue Jays are showing up in all these types of questions. And then also back to the Carney and tariffs. What does elbows up mean?
Interesting stats as you get a lot of your end lists coming out this time of the year. It was super cool to see Saskatchewan first yesterday as far as our new police chief.
Yeah, Loralee Davies was promoted. She's been the interim or acting chief since April when the investigation began into the former chief, Farouk Sheikh, 29-year veteran of the force. And she is now the official chief of police.
Well, a great person. Have known her for many years, and they couldn't go wrong with that pick. So congratulations to her. She's going to be joining the Evan Bray Show, who she called her mentor. And gave him props yesterday.
She was deputy chief under Bray. And
that's right.
Evan was just actually walking in the newsroom here before his show and talking about how they have very similar, not just career paths, but life paths. And I'm sure he'll bring that up a little.
Well,
perhaps
she will take over the Evan Bray Show one day, too. and, of course, lots of conversation about how quarterback Trevor Harris has returned for one more year, right?
One more year. He's gonna come back for his, he'll be 40 next year, but he says, you know, basically to him, age is just a number. He clearly doesn't feel like he's ready to hang up the cleats yet. And he had a great, great cup game, the MVP. And he posted a little video on social media. He's calling it, it's not Rider Nation, it's Champ Nation.
We are Champ Nation.
And he's looking to come back and run it right back to hopefully, for the first time in franchise history, go back-to-back.
That would be cool. Thank you, Shep. More on that story coming up. CJME News Time now, 6:58. Because I'm going to make this place your home. Settle down. Done for quarterback Trevor Harris. He's staying home. He says, we won, but we are not done. The 39-year-old coming off one of his best seasons ever, looking to win a second Grey Cup in the province. Wouldn't that be amazing? I don't think that's happened before. In fact, I know that's not happened before, but this is a big first step. Joining me now, CJME writer reporter Britton Gray. Good morning, Britton.
Good morning.
You were not surprised he signed so quickly?
You knew as soon as the discussions were taking place and Trevor Harris made his decision to play again, which is clearly what happened, this deal had to happen quickly because, A, it's your quarterback, and he's probably one of your best recruiters to bring back a bunch of these guys, and, B, now you know how much you're paying your quarterback. Now you know how much money you have to maybe spend somewhere else, how much money you have that you can give some of these other guys who deserve some more raises. So this deal was always going to be done quick. This was the first big domino to fall, and we'll see how the rest of it kind of works out here over the next little bit.
Well, we have a ton of potential free agents. And can you name one or two off the top of your head that you think that might actually now, okay, that's what I needed to hear to come back?
Sam Amelis will probably be a big one when you talk about what his ability out there and how good of a wide receiver he is. He wants to know who his quarterback's going to be, where the best spot is for him. And I think getting Trevor Harris back, that is a big step towards him re-signing here in Saskatchewan. I think you can make that case for a lot of the offense, right? The offensive line, Jamarcus Hardrick, A.J. Ouellette. They want to know who the quarterback is. They're at the points in their career where they want to win Grey Cups, right? They want that stability. They want to know what this offense is going to look like. So yeah, getting Trevor Harris signed, that gets rid of an unknown about what this team could be doing next season.
Yeah, it certainly does. A.J. Ouellette comes to mind as they drove home together, I think, didn't they? But overall, this is, you know, it's only a one-year contract, but don't read anything into that at all, should we, Britton?
No, you shouldn't. And at this point in his career, Trevor Harris has said even before this past season, he's at a point now where every year is a one-year contract. Every year he starts to have those discussions. Though, like I said, it was a pretty quick one this year to decide to come back. But it's just in the CFL, anything more than one-year contract, you talk to players, it's really all just 1 year. I wouldn't read into too much of just being the 1 year. And as Trevor Harris said all offseason, these conversations about retirement, where he was confused about where they came from because he thought he was playing well. He didn't think he looked that old, but of course he is going to be 40 by the time this next season gets underway here. But wouldn't read too much into it just being 1 year.
Man, that guy is ripped. He's cut. He's in better shape than you and I put together, Britton. I'm not concerned.
Not at all. The thing about Trevor Harris is he evolves as an athlete. He really does the research, finds out the best way to keep his body ready to go for the season. So it looks like he could play for a few more years yet.
He's the Tom Brady of the CFL. That's what he is, man. Okay, really quick, I got to ask you, Britton Gray, our writer reporter, flipped to the NFL. How did you feel about our Cowboys last night in the Lions? In the wild card hunt, both clubs needed a victory. Frustration over the penalties for me and the turnovers.
A lot of penalties out there that you just can't have happen. And some I agree with, some, you know, I always didn't really like the call, but this is the issue when you put yourself in a position as a team where you lose some games you should win early. All of a sudden, you have to win out the end of the season. You never know when a game will just go that way. So,
go ahead.
I was going to say, ultimately, the Cowboys got what they deserve, which is more than likely not making playoffs this season.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb suffered a concussion, too, in the third quarter. His top target for Prescott there does not look good. So you're closing out this chapter of the Cowboys? Did I hear that from you?
I just don't think this season, they'd have to win out. They need the Eagles to really fall off. I just don't see the path to the playoffs really being all that easy.
Yeah, well, it was a must win, and yeah, they blew it. All right, Britton, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Not a problem.
Ooh, Merry Christmas come this time each year.
Are you feeling Christmassy, Evan Brain?
I'm very Christmas. That song does it.
What are you thinking this weekend you're going to get done here?
Shopping? So the decorations are up at home. Yeah. We already got some of our shopping done, but I think we're going to plan to do a little bit more shopping this weekend. And,
yeah.
You know, you're never really done for grandkids. You're always buying, well, maybe just one more gift.
I'm in that unfortunate mode where I thought I was done, but because there's still 3 weekends to go,
yeah.
I'm starting to think of
that's what
doing
happens.
More.
That's
I hate
what
that
happens.
Feeling.
Yeah.
I got to stop that feeling.
Sometimes it's better to leave it to the end because if you shop too early, that's what happens. You start to second guess. Do I have enough?
You are right. Well, look at this. The new chief of police. You and I both agree this was the right move. Laura Lee Davies acknowledged yesterday as the chief of police officially, and I love this moment. This is a nice moment. She acknowledged someone you might know who was there watching when someone asked about, you know, leaning on a mentor just in case.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's here today. Former Chief Evan Brave is a huge mentor of mine and a huge supporter. So it's actually great that he's able to be here today.
What did you learn most from him?
When he left this building on his last day, he said, take care of our family. And, you know, I think it's people first. And that's really always been important to him. And it's important to me.
Good advice. Pretty nice moment there. Yeah. Good for you, buddy.
Well,
you deserve that.
I'm so happy for Laura Lee. She is such a strong leader. And, you know, I was just chatting with Abby in the newsroom, and Abby's reaction when I was talking about Laura Lee is exactly why she's a good pick for this. Yeah. Abby said she's just such a nice, genuine person. Even when Abby said when the media is talking to her, it just like she feels like she cares.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. She does care. And that's what you want as someone who's just a genuine person. Because that job, Greg, you and I have talked about this lots. It's not only about looking after 650 people that work at the police service, but it's about building relationships in the community.
Yeah.
And she is so capable of that. She'll be outstanding.
Well, and you and I both have known her for so many years. I worked in media with her many years before she took on nearly 30 years of service here so far. The thing I also respect, too, and I think that is it's such an inspiration to see someone who works so hard at her job. But she's got the girls, the kids, and you know what? She's just like anyone else. I see her at the rink now and then.
Well, that's
and
where all the she is this morning. Activities. She was dropping her youngest daughter off first thing this morning, she was saying, because she had hockey. So she had that. I mean, that's the thing. When I was watching the announcement yesterday, her two daughters were there. And just the pride that you could see them looking at their mom. Pretty cool.
Well,
pretty cool.
I think anyone listening knows that we were in favor.
that's my vote. So I'm looking forward.
So we've got she's coming up, isn't she, on the show?
She will be our first guest this morning at 8:30. So be a great conversation with her.
Are you, because she said you were her mentor and she would lean on you, are you just going to give her your top 10 things to do right off the bat?
No, I'm giving her no lists. She's very capable. She's got her own list for sure. But I am looking forward because she will put her own stamp on things. And I look forward to that.
What else you got?
We've got Charlene Gavel on the show today. She's the president and CEO of Sastel. Sastel signed on to this new partnership with the app Calm.
Charlene will make you calmer.
Yeah, well,
that's what she's going to do on your show, because sometimes you get riled up. So it'll be perfect timing.
I have a friend who swears by this app. So there's lots of nuances to it, but it's like mindfulness meditation. Yeah. It's calming. A lot of people will use it, helping them go to sleep.
Yeah.
And you can listen to people like Matthew McConaughey reading a story. Like there's all kinds of different
things.
Well,
maybe Charlene could, take you through a few breathing exercises.
Well, you never know. 11:30.
You down on the show.
I mean, you know, after I get through open lines on this program, I could use a Calm app, because we can get heated on open lines.
Well, I'll tell you what, we talk about, women in our community who we respect. In positions. There's another CEO of Sastel.
Another great leader. And speaking of that, I'll quickly mention I've got Vivian Berkovich on. She's Canada's former ambassador to Israel. She'll be joining me live from Israel this morning at 9:30 as well. So
what is the time change on that?
It's probably after supper there, I'm guessing. Okay. But anyway, nonetheless, great show today, Greg.
All right. Evan Bray back here at 8:30.